to our plans for the rest of the weekend. A long walk tomorrow, a few drinks and dinner at the pub to celebrate Henry's birthday. I have a couple of glasses of Prosecco and find my eyes fixing on the soft curve of Henry's biceps. The little sliver of skin when he raises his arms to fix the fairy lights to the oak pergola above us. I should probably switch to lemonade.
Another?
Ali asks, bottle suspended on the lip of my glass. What's the worst that could happen? Sure, I say. Drink number three goes down easy. So does the fourth. I figure Roman's mum's Jamaican jerk chicken recipe, jerk tofu for me, will sober me up enough to make it through the rest of the evening. But when the plates are cleared, the sun has fully set over the harbour, and Marcus appears at the back door wearing banana swim shorts and Crocs, asking who wants to take a dip in the hot tub. I don't even consider the implications of being half naked, submerged in hot frothy water, next to Henry. Totally fine.
What's with the bananas? Henry asks Marcus.
We were all thinking it.
Guess the lady's thinking about my cock, he replies, lifting one leg dramatically high, then climbing into the steaming water.
Ali chuckles.
My boyfriend, ladies and gentlemen.
Marcus says, a little sterner than necessary. No labels, babe. I think he was expecting a laugh, but no one makes a sound. They've been together since January. It's obvious to anyone that Ali is besotted with this man-child, and yet he still feels the need to do this. To embarrass her in front of her friends. To deny her the title of girlfriend she rightly deserves. Ali's eyes glisten, and she discreetly wipes the side of her face. Marcus strikes up a conversation about tomorrow's big football game, and I feel a stab of protectiveness towards Ali, the same way I feel for Sasha. I put my hand on hers, quietly asking if she's okay. She nods and tells me she is. She's lying, to herself and me. But I let it go. It won't be much longer until this implodes. A few more months, if I remember correctly. But then, everything is different now. I'm here, with this big group of lovely people. Henry is my friend. Sasha is already considering trying for a baby. Maybe they'll work it out.
I'm certainly up for a dip.
Sasha breaks the tension perfectly. We leave Marcus marinating in his own self-worth while we change into our swimwear. I have the bright idea to change quickly into my red swimsuit, getting to the hot tub before Henry. But when he walks out in his black shorts, I realise that was a horrendous idea because I have a front row seat to his hotness. He moves across the patio, setting down his towel, towing off his sandals. I don't take my eyes from him. He stops at the table to take a sip of his sparkling water, then grabs a stick of carrot. I watch all of this as if it's an obscene strip show only for me. I knew what Henry looked like with his top off. I knew he was firm and toned. I knew his skin was soft and flawless. But shit. Even my most vivid memory was pathetically underselling it. He climbs into the hot tub, the carrot stick dangling from his mouth like a cowboy chewing on straw. He sees my expression, or my drool. There's a spark in his eyes. I know what that spark turns into. How it makes my toes curl.
What? He says.
She's got a hard on for you, Marcus blurts.
Dude. Henry's quick with the dagger stare.
What? If I weren't here, she'd be humping you right now.
My spine curves with so much humiliation, it's a miracle I'm not in a tiny ball, drowning under the bubbles. If you weren't here, Henry says calmly, we'd all be a lot happier.
Whoa. Where did that come from?
Marcus is laughing it off, but Henry remains serious, only brightening when Ali, Roman, and Sasha appear. We adjust ourselves to make space for them. Henry and I are shoulder to shoulder. Our thighs graze. I give him an innocent smile. Then look away.
So let's play truth or dare,
Marcus suggests, once we're all settled.
Ooh, I have a good one,
Sasha says, looking at me with tipsy eyes. The hot tub is large enough for us all to have a seat, but Ali and Sasha still take their positions on their boyfriend's laps. I dare Henry and Grace to kiss. I grimace so hard my stomach aches. I thought I'd gone back to 25, not 18. Unbelievable, I hear Henry mutter.
Why don't we lay off the matchmaking? Roman suggests, rubbing Sasha's shoulder. I give him a thankful look. He nods in return.
Okay, I've got one,
Ali chips in. I rise hopefully, thinking she might dare Marcus to finally call her his girlfriend, but she's clearly not as petty as me because she starts slow, asking Sasha who is her weirdest celebrity crush, to which Sasha answers Simba from The Lion King.
He's so cute,
she insists. We erupt in laughter, reminding her that he is not technically a celebrity and that she, of all people, should know that bestiality is definitely illegal. What happens next is an hour of childish games. Ali and Marcus swap swimsuit bottoms under the water. Sasha licks my toes. We learn that Roman lost his virginity to his first girlfriend on his granddad's allotment. Questions were raised. That Ali would pick a woman to have a threesome with because it's hard enough to find one man who knows what he's doing, let alone two. I foolishly confess that the best sex of my life was on a kitchen counter covered in melted chocolate, which earns me a roar of excitement from everyone but Henry, who watches me with the most stormy eyes a human has ever possessed. And as the night slips away, the bottle's empty, and I feel woozy and excited and strangely alive. Sasha and Roman call it a night, not so subtly, whispering sexy talk to each other, quickly followed by Marcus and Ali.
We're gonna go,
Ali says abruptly.
To bed.
There's a sock on the door, if you know what I mean,
Marcus says, climbing out to reveal Ali's pink bikini bottom sliced between his hairy bum cheeks. Henry and I both wince at the sight.
Have they always been this horny?
I say, when they've disappeared. Or is it super obvious because we're single? Definitely the latter, he says. He positions himself so he's opposite me, the bubbles rippling between us. So, tell me about this chocolate man. I was wondering if he'd bring that up, and he waited less than 10 seconds. What about him? I say, as I coolly run my fingers over my glass. Who was he?
Some guy,
I say. Name?
Shit. Hamlet von Stuckner.
It's painfully obvious I'm making it up on the spot. Henry laughs. Hamlet von Stuckner? Really? That's what you're going with? Okay. Was he good? Gold stars all around. Henry's eyes burn into me.
I didn't say it to make you go out of your mind.
But you succeeded, he says. Was it recent? As I shake my head, the breeze sends his cologne my way. I get the strongest urge to climb into his lap. I silence it with a huge gulp of Prosecco.
It was forever ago,
I say.
But you still think about it, Henry muses. All the time.
Only when I play Truth or Dare.
So daily, he says.
He tilts his head to the side, watching me.
Why don't you tell me who he is?
Hamlet is very private, I say.
I assure you, no one takes issue with being outed as the best sex of someone's life.
Who's yours? The second I say it, I regret it. I don't want to know. I don't want to even think about it. Henry sits up, clearly uncomfortable.
Oh, how the tables have turned, I say.
Jumbolia McMonolute, Henry says, deadpan. My laugh is a rapid-fire release. I think I spit a little bit. She sounds delightful.
She is.
I think she's currently single. Maybe we could set her up with Hamlet. The world couldn't handle it, I say. Two names like that? Imagine if they married and double-barreled. Criminal. Yeah, Henry says. Besides, you probably want to keep Hamlet for yourself, right?
God, I hate this.
Not especially, I say. Bad breakup? I nod. Got a collection of them. At what point do I admit that I'm the problem? The way the conversation has switched makes my brain spin. The bubbles come on again.
You're not the problem, he says. You could never be the problem.
Oh, how little he knows. A sexual wail floats from the top window across the garden. Could be Ali or Sasha. Too similar to call.
Jesus, Henry sighs. Wish I'd brought earplugs.
It's like they want us to suffer.
Maybe they do, he says.
Yeah. I swallow another mouthful. Trying to show us what we're missing. Get us so worked up we have no choice but to jump each other.
Well, not gonna work, guys.
I jokingly call in the direction of the window. I laugh. Henry doesn't.
You're not feeling even a little bit wound up? He asks, eyes dancing over my bare skin. I'm gloriously warm from the water, but all of it pulls into one place when he looks at me. His knee bangs mine, sending a jolt of excitement right to my core.
Nope, I'm good, I say. I'm a dirty little liar.
He smirks. What a shame.
My drunken mouth takes over.
Why?
Were you going to take me right here in the hot tub? Give Hamlet a run for his money?
Henry's eyes flash, and I know I should laugh it off as a joke, that I'm playing with the fire in his eyes, but I don't. I watch his mouth turn serious. Don't start things you have no intention of finishing, Grace.
Oh, I'd finish. Don't worry about that.
He looks at the stars, a wordless prayer. I know I shouldn't be indulging in this, that no good can come of it. But oh my God, having a man this handsome, this lovely, half naked and all to myself, in a hot tub, I cannot be responsible for my actions. I stand as I pour myself the dregs at the bottom of the bottle. The air is icy. And if my nipples look as hard as they feel, I know I'm giving him an eyeful.
I could show you things, I say tormentingly. Give you the night of your life. Make you forget Jumbolia ever existed.
In a deep locked room of my brain, I can hear sober Grace screaming that this will lead to the worst heartbreak I've ever known. But drunk Grace has the wheel, and she's driving recklessly.
Not an easy task, he teases.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Firing up my competitive edge. Jumbolia? Ugh. I bet he means Mia. That stunning girl from Winley he used to hook up with. I taste acid.
Fueled by my old friend, Burning Envy, I slide across the hot tub until I'm in his lap, knees either side of his hips. He keeps his arms outstretched, cursing under his breath. I feel him tense against my thigh.
What are you doing?
This hot tub is so big. I got lonely over there.
Jesus,
he moans. His hands grip the edge of the tub.
Let's keep playing truth or dare.
That sounds like a terrible idea.
Why?
Because you've had enough Prosecco to knock out a small mammal, and the hardest thing I've drunk is water.
You've stopped drinking, I say. The last time I saw him with a drink in his hand was at the races, months ago.
I have, he replies. Unfazed by my serious tone.
Why?
I'm close enough to see the flicker of discomfort in his eyes before he answers.
I used to drink a lot when I was younger. It was a bit of a mask, something I did when I wanted to pretend to be someone else, to make me forget my real life.
I lean back so much he needs to put his hands on my waist so I don't fall off his lap. That's something he's never admitted to me before. The one time he idly mentioned it, I'm sure he said it was because he'd seen what alcohol does to the heart.
And now? I ask.
And now I'm learning that I'm happier without it. I'm a little in awe, a little in love with his conviction. By comparison, I feel very weak. I'm not that drunk, I say.
His eyebrows rise.
Would you want to be gyrating against me in a hot tub if you were sober?
Yes. I say honestly. Looks like we're already playing truths.
My turn.
I try to think of something sensible, but my jealous little heart is roaring.
Did you sleep with Felicity?
No.
I scoff.
You can't lie. It's the only rule. He doesn't know that I'm well aware of his many sexual proclivities. There's no way he wouldn't have slept with her.
I'm not lying. I haven't slept with anyone since I met you.
Henry breaks our eye contact, shyly looking to the swirling water.
Fibber, I saw you take that redhead up to your bedroom the night we met.
His expression turns confused, as if wondering how I could possibly know that. I showed her to the upstairs bathroom, because someone blocked the downstairs one.
I gasp. I swear, it wasn't me.
He's laughing again. I know.
My mind catches up.
You didn't sleep with her?
Why?
She was hot.
He's thoughtful for a moment. Once I got chatting to her, she wasn't all that nice. And, hear me out, I don't like sleeping with unpleasant people.
My turn. He says the next words like he can't hold them in for a second longer.
Did you sleep with Reese?
Nope. I haven't had sex in a long time.
Really?
I thought he might have been Hamlet.
He's silent, daring me to go on.
Hamlet is history, I say. I drop my face to the curve of his neck, taking a long, smooth inhale of his skin.
Whereas you...
I can't help myself. I kiss him on the clavicle, on his shoulder, then rise to take his jaw between my lips. I feel his tight inhale. He's got my ankle in a firm grip. The other hand squeezes the bare skin of my hip.
Grace, Henry moans. Whose turn is it?
I say, his earlobe between my teeth.
Mine?
I bring my hands to his neck, running my fingers through his hair.
I'll take that as a yes, I say.
I pull back, a nervous, tipsy giggle stopping abruptly when I notice how hard he's looking at me.
Sex in a hot tub would be pretty unforgettable,
I say, growing bolder.
I dare you to...
No.
No?
Henry's demeanour isn't half as stern as his words. He takes my bum in his hands and presses down, pushing us together. I feel how hard he is, how badly he wants me as he lifts me slowly, agonizingly, watching my eyelids flutter as he drags me over him.
Oh my God.
The words escape in one ravished breath. Everything around me feels blurry, except for the way his attention fixes on me.
This isn't a game to me, Grace. If you want me to touch you, all you have to do is ask. And despite how badly I want to make you scream my name right now, I know you're not ready for this. It's probably the only thing he could have said to sober me up. And it hits me instantly. What the hell am I doing?
Are you? Henry repeats. A sharp sea breeze rattles the pergola, and my shoulders catch the chill as it whips through me, pushing me closer to rationality. I lean back, witnessing the scene like an onlooker. I am straddling him. What part of my plan to stay away from him involves climbing into his lap? Bad, drunk Grace. I think I might have had one too many. It smooths away all the friction. He laughs against my shoulder, shaking under the water.
I would say so.
When he tilts his head back, I get a front row seat to his smile.
God, that grin, with those perfect lips. He is so gorgeous when he's truly happy.
My chest tightens as I remember the way I wiped that smile from his face.
Should I get off you now?
I ask.
Only if you want to.
I stay for a little longer, silently holding him. I get tingles as he runs his fingertips over my spine, down my outer thighs. If he's uncomfortable, he doesn't say anything. I just need to be close to him, to shut my eyes, breathe him in, and pretend everything is fine. To let myself love him, even if only for a minute. When I start to shiver, he gently tells me we should think about going to bed.
Separately, he clarifies.
Obviously, I say, in a way that lets him know I meant the exact opposite. He lifts me out of the hot tub, wrapping me in a towel, then grabbing himself one. I'm shaking violently and feeling like I'm about to throw up or pass out, possibly both. I already know tomorrow is going to be mortifying. I tiptoe through the kitchen while Henry checks that each door and window is locked. Wet feet on shiny floors and a drunken girl is a disaster waiting to happen. I nearly slip once, then twice. The third time, I take a tumble into a jumble-sized bag of Doritos, covering the floor with jagged crumbs, which I then proceed to try and clean up with a shoe. It takes 10 minutes to get up the stairs,
with Henry behind me ready to break my fall. I walk into a door and call it a dickhead. The second I land on the bed, still in my wet swimsuit, wrapped in a damp towel, a heaviness comes over me. I couldn't open my eyes if you paid me. I'm going to leave this here, he says. I hear something hit the mattress.
Your naked body?
His laugh is whisper quiet.
Your phone. Me and my naked body will be downstairs. What a lovely thought.
I don't recognize my voice. I grab my pillow and hold it to my chest. I call it Henry.
Good night, Grace, he says from a distance.
When I'm sure he's gone, I finally relax and lose myself in the memory I always keep locked away. Our first date. The first time he touched me. The moment my entire life changed.
I kind of like you, Henry, I say to myself.
I drift into a dream where I'm in his kitchen, with him in my arms, as he quietly says back to me,
I kind of like you, too.
The next morning, we wake to glorious sunshine. It makes me want to rip my eyes out. How much Prosecco did I finish? I lost count at glass 7. After a scalding hot shower that does little to wash over my hungover shame, I appear downstairs, dressed and covered in sun cream. I thought I had taken my time, but it seems my slow is everyone else's fast, because no one else is ready. Drawers open and close, hairdryers blast. Henry sits, dressed, on the edge of his camper bed, tying the laces of his walking boots. He looks up when he sees me. How's the head? As soon as our eyes meet, I feel his hands on my bum again, the strength of him under me. All morning I've been under a grey rain cloud. He's burning through it.
Grace,
he says, when I fail to answer. There's only one way to eliminate any awkwardness. Honesty. I feel like it's been ripped off my neck and used as a bowling ball, fingers shoved right here. I point to my eyes and Henry laughs. Listen, last night is a bit of a blur, but I have a distant memory of pushing my unwanted advances on you and...
Definitely not unwanted, Henry says.
The corner of his mouth ticks upwards as his eyes take a slow tour of my body. I feel like the crisp bag I spilled last night, wide open and ready to be trampled on. But still, I know drunk me was a little, excited and was saying all sorts...
I said some things too, Henry says casually. Like how I wanted to make you scream my name.
He shakes his head, with a cocky laugh as he returns his attention to his boots. My stomach releases a vibrating sensation, somewhere halfway between butterflies and killer wasps. My arousal goes from -10 to 100 in an instant. I zone in on his arms, the large hands threading laces with ease. I'm losing control. My traitorous body is no longer listening to my head, and I don't even have alcohol as an excuse. I need to get a grip. Well, now that we're both in a better frame of mind, I say, I wanted to talk.
Happy birthday to you.
A chorus sings from the top of the stairs. I wince in pain at the pitch unperfect volume. Please tell me there are painkillers here somewhere. I join in with the group as they descend. Ali and Sasha hold banners and balloons. Peppa Pig ones. Sorry, Ali says when the singing finally ends. There was a plan to buy these on the way here, but we totally forgot. And when we went to the supermarket yesterday, this was all they had. Henry reads the banner that's being tacked above the fireplace.
Birthday princess? He laughs.
The prettiest one I've ever seen, Ali replies.
Roman, who had snuck off to the boot of the car, reappears with a large present under his arm. We'd all chipped in on a tool set for Henry, for when he finally finds his dream home. Henry glows with the sweetest satisfaction, thanking us all, opening a few cards that Ali brought here from Winchester. One from each of his brothers. One from his colleagues at the hospital.
I'm not usually a big birthday fan, he says, blushing. You guys might have convinced me.
While this comes like music to the ears of everyone else, it jars me like a bum note in a symphony. I flash back to this exact birthday 5 years earlier. Him in my bed, my chin on his chest, listening to him admit that it was his birthday like it was an embarrassing ailment.
and me not understanding why he hadn't mentioned it before. I've never liked making a fuss, he told me. It's only one day. Never felt like it was worth celebrating.
Since your parents passed? I assumed.
Henry flinched, like I'd touched a sore spot.
I kissed the skin below his neck and he sighed.
Let's change that, I said. Let's make this the best bloody birthday anyone has ever had. Then I pulled the duvet over our heads, where we stayed until lunchtime, replacing the heat of the sunshine with a fire of our own. It was too last minute to do anything big, and when I asked him, he said being with me was enough. So we spent the afternoon in the local park having a lazy picnic on the grass. Then, while he showered, waiting for his favourite Thai takeaway to arrive, I rode his bike to the tech shop and bought a projector. In my garden, I hung an old bedsheet between a tree and the fence, brought out half of the living room cushions, and we watched nature documentaries under the stars. We were still out there when the clock struck midnight, cuddled up and kissing, when Henry suddenly gave me a serious look.
What?
I said. You're the best thing ever to happen to me. You know that. I made a joke and said I must not have had much competition, and he laughed, pulling me closer. I could get used to this birthday stuff.
Same time next year? I said.
He kissed me again.
For sure.
But it didn't happen. 12 months later, I spent my shift at the Lucky One, diving in and out of the bathroom to ugly cry, blaming onions for my weeping, pretending I didn't miss him so much it hurt to breathe. We all slept in far too late for breakfast, so the six of us walked to a harbourside cafe where everyone else fills up on fresh seafood and I gorge on chips as the sound of families crabbing on the water's edge fills the air. We meander through the local shops. Ali buys a handmade photo frame. Sasha picks up some artisanal chocolates. Then we head towards the grassy hillside.
Marcus is already moaning, requesting we stop in every pub we pass so he can grab a beer.
He and Ali walk lazily, lost in themselves. Roman and Sasha march ahead, as if there's a shiny medal waiting for them at the end of this. Then there's Henry and me, side by side. His hand unfurls in the long blades of the grass as we walk along the rocky path that cuts through the fields. Despite the heat, the air is fresh and cool, whipping my curls into a frenzy. Between each lashing, I cut a glance to Henry. He looks so good. A tight white t-shirt and light shorts, heavy boots. Completely ruined by the giant pink birthday balloon Marcus has forced him to tie to his wrist that's thwacking through the air behind us. He swears, I feel like I've got a kite strapped to me. I open my mouth to reply and get a mouthful of my hair.
You wouldn't happen to have a hair tie?
I have a fist, he offers, eyes mischievous. He pulls my hair out of my face, gripping it behind my head. I know that if I asked him to, he'd do this whole 5 mile walk holding back my hair. His fingertips tingle the base of my neck as his attention falls to my mouth. Then I get smacked in the face by Peppa Pig. Henry bats it away, laughing. I don't know if I can do this much longer, he says. It's pretty hideous. Give it to the next child we pass.
I'll tell Marcus it blew away.
No, not the balloon. He laughs again, then sucks in a breath. His expression is pensive, hands now curled into tight fists around the belt loops of his shorts. I lay awake for hours last night. I couldn't stop thinking about you. The golden sun illuminates his face, the coastline creating the most picture-perfect image. Of course, he chooses this moment to lay it all bare, when he looks so damn irresistible. I don't know if I can keep pretending like I don't want more. As if there isn't another version of us that could be everything we've ever wanted. It's the sweetest thing he's ever said to me. And it's had some cracking contenders. Last night, I felt as if I was in physical pain holding back from you. I didn't know if you were just drunk or messing me around, but I wasn't messing you around, I say. Henry cocks his head to the side. But you never said the words. It was as though you couldn't, or you wouldn't let yourself. Which makes me think this is never going to happen. Is this never going to happen? I think of the words I said to Sasha in the car on the way down here.
now convinced he was awake enough to hear them.
I don't know, I say. I don't know anything anymore.
Look, he says.
I know some moron broke your heart, and I can tell you now that you absolutely didn't deserve that. But I'm doing everything I can think of to prove to you that I'm not that guy. That I'm in this, completely, fully. I'm not seeing anyone, not even texting. My life is suspended, waiting and hoping for you. Please tell me what more you need. I'll walk over hot coals. I'll jump in the freezing sea, stark bollock naked. I'll keep this sodding balloon tied to me for an entire year if it'll prove to you. I'll do it.
He's smiling, but there's a pleading in his eyes. So heartfelt that I almost relent.
I almost fall into his arms, his lips, his life, without a second thought. But I've heard this story before. I know exactly how it ends. I have to believe I'm changing my life, that I'm making things better. Otherwise, what was this all for? And there's only one way to guarantee that everything works out, and that's to keep him as my friend. We've got a good thing going here, with our little group. And I like you. You know I do. I like you so much that I don't want to risk what we have by making it more and having it all go wrong. You mean too much to me to lose.
Right, he says, slowly understanding. I think we should be friends, I say. Only friends. The words clang like a gong. He's crushed. There's no hiding it. He runs his hand over his face, then looks at the sky with exhaustion. When we lock eyes again, his mouth is twisted, jaw tense. He takes a deep breath, then releases it like he's letting go of every hope of me and him. You truly mean that? He asks.
I do. You shouldn't be waiting. All this lovely attention you've given me. Give it to someone else.
Henry lets the word settle, then nods.
Then I guess that's what I'll do, he says.
He takes a few steps, then stops abruptly. When we get home, I think I might need some space. For a while, anyway. Until I get over you. As I watch him walk away, through the fields, I tell myself it's about time I did the same.
Chapter 19. Henry, 5 years earlier. By September, Ali and I had been living together for 9 months, but in all that time I'd probably only spent a week of it in her company. Between work and our partners, we were mostly communicating through perfunctory text messages. Me. The toilet won't flush. I've called the landlord. Her. We need more sugar. Me. I folded your washing and put it on your bed. Her. What are your feelings towards that gold clock in the hallway and, hypothetically, how upset would you be if someone broke it? Me. IKEA, £49. Here's the link. Her. Like it never happened. When we finally bumped into each other early one morning, it felt how it did when I'd visit her in Newcastle, and we'd speak mostly online and at least a year would go by between seeing each other. Oh, she said, when I walked into the kitchen. She was buttering toast, dressed in her work suit. I didn't know you were here. I didn't know you were here. I replied. I poured coffee into my travel mug. The silence was long and awkward, as it had been with the almost strangers I'd rented with before, Ali. This is stupid, she said, clearly feeling it too. I feel like I haven't seen you in months. I was starting to forget what you looked like. I barely had time to breathe. I needed to be on the ward in 30 minutes and my rear bike tyre needed changing. But still, I rattled off quick-fire questions. How are you? How's work? Are things going all right with Marcus? Okay, fine. And a non-committal shrug. She brushed crumbs from her palms. I saw it instantly. The sadness. Ali always thought she hid it well, and maybe she did to everyone else, but not me. She grabbed her bag and made for the door with an empty promise to text me later. I could do better than that. Lunch tomorrow? I asked. I want to catch up. Properly. I'm supposed to be seeing Marcus, Ali said, and she paused. But sure, let's do it. So the next day we met outside a quaint little cafe in the centre of Winchester. We took a table outside, with a steady stream of shoppers idling by, the sun bright but the autumn breeze cool on our skin. Ali gave me my belated birthday present. A chocolate body painting kit. For your weird sex play, she teased. We ordered drinks that were mostly ice, studying the menu. Ali had said all of 50 words since we sat down. So, what's going on with you? You're not yourself, I said. She rolled her eyes. You've been in my company 5 minutes. Stop being so perceptive. I deal with people downplaying their problems all day long. I can see it a mile away. What's up? I heard from Vivian, she said. Ah, that explained it. Ali never called her mother Mum. When we first started talking online and she explained her situation, I started referring to my parents as Hugh and Gina too, pretending they weren't my real parents, just another two people I'd been lumped with. The first in a long line of half-hearted foster parents. It was a coincidence I shared their DNA. Dissociation is a powerful tool. And? I asked. She'd finally discovered I'd moved away. Turned up at my old house kicking up a fuss. Scared the life out of my old roommates. I wasn't overly surprised. Ali's mother's behaviour was typical of most addicts in the throes of withdrawal. Selfish. Fighting to the death for the next hit. Apparently, it was gone midnight and she was shouting through the letterbox about wanting an advance on her allowance. I don't know why you keep sending her money. I pay it straight to her landlord. I can't stand the thought of her being homeless, Ali said. Her eyes darted to mine at the word homeless, face flooded with guilt. Sorry. It's fine, I replied. She'll never be grateful. It's always more, more, more. You hear about parents saying they'd give their kids the clothes off their backs. Vivian wouldn't even give me a crumb off her plate. I pictured Ali as a malnourished 8-year-old wailing, Vivian, at the top of her lungs and lost my appetite. The distant look in her eyes made me nervous. It always did when it came to Ali and her turbulent relationship with her family in Newcastle. It's why I pushed so hard for her to move down south, to get her away from those toxic family ties. You need to talk to someone, I said. A professional. I don't need someone. I have you to talk to. She wasn't wrong. Talking to each other about our pasts felt safe. Somehow. There was no judgment, no explanation needed. Just a simple mirror image of pain. Besides, hypocrite much? Ali gave me a stern look. For all my insistence that Ali should try therapy, I never had. I probably should have, especially when I started university, when I struggled with the learning curve of being independent. When the only way I knew how to deal with my issues was to drink and party and screw them away. But not now, when things were going so well. I'd given myself a clean slate, put it all behind me. When the waitress came to take our order, we each asked for sandwiches and crisps. They were in front of us within minutes, thick cut bread and soft fillings. Speaking of shitty parentals, Ali said, how did Grace take the news when you told her about, you know? I haven't. Oh, Henry, she tutted. I sort of told her they were dead. Ali lowered her sandwich to her plate If I were anyone else, I'm sure she'd have been appalled. But for me, her eyes held a touch of mercy. Why would you do that? I shrugged, even though I knew the answer. Don't you ever want to erase it? All the shit we've been through. Hit delete and watch it disappear. All the time, she replied. But it doesn't work like that. Grace is so perfect, I said. With everything I went through as a kid and the years after, I've spent half my life believing I'm broken, unlovable. I want to prove myself wrong, make myself perfect, for once. Ali leaned across the table, squeezing my wrist. You are so bloody lovable, she said. But I get it. I've told a few white lies about my childhood. I've even made up fake perfect parents that live in Bali. Pretending is a great coping mechanism, but not with someone who actually matters. Because when the shit hits the fan, it's not like she's going to find out. I haven't seen any of the old Winley crowd in ages. I barely get a chance to speak to my brothers. You're literally the only person who could spill it. Ali cocked her head to one side. She didn't need to tell me I defended her. Not that you would, I added. No way am I getting involved in this mess, she said. We ate in silence for a few minutes, then she turned to me sharply. You always tell me I should speak to a professional, and you know it pisses me off, but you do it because you care. Well, I care too. Tell her the truth. If she really likes you, she'll understand. I'll make it right, I said, having no idea how I was going to do that. We spent the next half an hour talking about Marcus. Marcus and his new car. Marcus and his new job. Marcus and his rotating penis. Possibly. I'd stopped listening. Still calling it casual? I asked. That word, she snarled. I never want to hear it again as long as I live. I don't know what the big deal is. We've been together months now. We're exclusive. But he still won't call me his bloody girlfriend. You really should end it. As soon as it left my mouth, I realised that wasn't at all what Ali wanted to hear. Her eyes could turn me to stone. I really like him, Henry. Maybe even love him. There's no maybe when it comes to love, I countered. I'm sorry, she chewed and swallowed fast. Is this still my best mate talking, the one who swore love was a lie and had more than one girl's name listed on his phone as booty call? I cringed. Man, 20-year-old me was a total twat. Had. Important word there, I said, taking a bite. Ali laughed, nudging my arm to let me know she was only teasing. So, come on, tell me what love is. Love is... I pictured Grace in bed with me earlier that morning. The walk we took up St. Catherine's Hill last weekend. The wind in her hair. The way she gave me her sunglasses because I was squinting. How ice cream tasted so much better when it was kissed from her lips. Love is giving someone everything you have. The best of you. The clothes off your back. The last bite. All of it. Oh, Lord, she's got you hooked. I see proposals, weddings, babies. I knew I was supposed to refute it, to say we were too young to be thinking that far ahead, but I didn't. I smiled, poking at a slice of tomato, not even caring that Ali could see straight through me. I wanted everyone to. I don't think Grace likes me very much, Ali added, a wobble to her voice. Grace likes you, I replied. But it felt disingenuous as soon as I said it. She just doesn't know you that well. She hasn't tried to get to know me. Most of the time you're at hers, and don't get me wrong, after the chocolate sex prints on the kitchen counter, I'm kind of grateful, but even when Grace does come over to ours, she barely talks to me. Ali could make friends with a brick wall. I wasn't surprised she'd noticed the way Grace seemed to avoid her. She was never rude, but it was clear her guard was up. I think she's a little intimidated. Ali's mouth opened and I got full view of her half-chewed sandwich. What? By me? Shocking, I know, I laughed. It's because we've been friends for years. We live together, we have a vibe, and her last boyfriend was a total wanker who cheated on her. It's understandable she'd be cautious. Mid-sip, Ali put her glass down. Vibe? I groaned. Not like that. We're like family, but not. It's intimidating. Fine. She resumed drinking. But you've been together a long time now, and will be if she forgives you for being a dirty liar, and I would like to get to know her better. If you could possibly start laying the foundations that I'm a nice person, that would be great. Nice person? I crinkled my nose. I thought we'd agreed that lying was bad, Al. Oh, screw you. She bundled up a paper napkin and threw it at me. It hit the table behind us after bouncing off the head of a guy with dark braids. He turned with a sharp look until he saw me. Not you, he said. Mikael! Oh, Jesus, I can't escape you for one day, he replied with his deep laugh. We gave each other a hug that mostly consisted of backslapping. His eyes snagged on Ali, then returned to me. Is this the girlfriend? He talks about you non-stop, you know that. Vibe, Ali mouthed to me. No, this is just Ali, I replied. Grace is working, opening a restaurant in a couple of months. Mikael chuckled. Starting to think you've made her up, mate. He has, Ali said. Don't believe a word this man says. He couldn't pull a handbrake. Thank you for that, I rolled my eyes. Welcome. Her smile was sickly sweet. Mikael seemed to like it, smiling wide in return. He motioned to his table. Love to chat, but I've got to get back. You working tomorrow? 3 days off, back Wednesday. Good man, see you then. Mikael's eyes connected with Ali's again. It was pretty clear who the vibe was between. Nice to meet you, Ali. You too. She smiled, her straw between her teeth. The second he was out of earshot, Ali leaned over and said, he's cute. He'd call you his girlfriend, I said, with a knowing look. And so will Marcus, Ali replied. Give it time.
Chapter 20. Grace. Now. By the time we've been back to the cottage for showers and power naps, the pub is rammed and we struggle to get a table. Everyone is laughing and joking, oblivious to the conversation Henry and I had earlier. The beer garden is packed, so we pull antique-looking chairs from all over the pub and squeeze together in a dark corner under a replica stag head and a painting of the coastline from the 50s. The table is smaller than the kids' table at a wedding, but we're all too hot and bothered to care. Sasha and Roman take their seats, then Ali and Marcus. The only space for me and Henry to sit is, awkwardly, next to each other. I sit. This doesn't need to be weird. I can do this. Friends, friends, friends. But Henry doesn't take the seat next to me. What's everyone drinking? He asks. First round is on me. He's recovered well, it seems, smiling as if nothing has happened. I tell myself this is yet more evidence that by keeping our relationship platonic, we'll be happier, in the long run. We put in an order for a couple of bottles of white wine,
and some starters we can graze on. And Henry joins the queue for the busy bar. I watch as his balloon crawls across the ceiling. 5 minutes later, Henry returns with 5 wine glasses in hand. Then he puts 2 ice buckets next to our table, one to either side. I'll be back in 2 minutes, he says, darting to the bar again. I don't think anything of it, assuming he's buying himself a soft drink, so I pour us all a glass, until Marcus pipes up.
Oh, looks like we're going to be a man down.
I turn to see what's got his attention, and my stomach threatens to jump out of my mouth. In the gaps between chatting drinkers, I see Henry is talking to a woman. Not any woman. A literal goddess. Ruby red lips, big flirty brown eyes. She's about my height, with long dark hair cascading down her back, all the way to an ass that looks like it belongs on a fitness instructor.
The birthday boy is scored within minutes, legend, Marcus says.
Oh, please, they could be chatting about anything, Ali says, eyes darting sympathetically to me. Then Henry leans in and says something in her ear that causes her to throw her head back, laughing. Henry looks right at her tits. Oh my God.
The cottage is going to be rocking tonight. Hope you all brought earplugs,
Marcus coos. Ali elbows him in the ribs.
What?
He says. Everyone's eyes slowly turn to me. Sasha puts her hand on mine and squeezes. Are you okay?
Of course I'm okay. Why wouldn't I be?
My voice sounds like I've been inhaling the helium from Henry's balloon.
Well, you've been pretty cozy. We're friends.
I should have that tattooed on my forehead by now. It would be much easier. Sasha and Ali share a concerned look.
Are you sure? Sasha asks.
We can create a fake emergency, get him back here.
Don't be silly. That would be,
oh, so tempting.
Absurd, I finally settle on.
We had a chat about us earlier. I told him he should focus on finding someone else. Still, I thought I'd have a little more time to get used to the idea. But then, he is Henry, a catch by anyone's standards. A medical professional, with bright green eyes, over 6 foot, the demeanour of a golden retriever. You'd have to be mad to turn him down.
Which is what I know my friends are thinking as they stare awkwardly at their wine glasses, avoiding the obvious. I am a crazy lady who doesn't know a good thing when she sees it.
Henry's hearty laugh cuts through the noise of the busy pub, and I force myself to unhear it. To not look over, to do what I've been promising I will. Let him go. Please, let's change the subject. I sit up straighter and put more wine in my almost full glass.
A drinking game, that's what we need. Who's got a good one? Marcus?
Marcus takes the bait and begins explaining the rules to a very complex game involving far too much swearing and a dose of sexual confessions too. We manage to keep it somewhat family-friendly, but as the wine flows and words slur, Marcus, once again, takes it too far by revealing he once had a foursome with a group of adult entertainers, which makes Ali go very still. Her hands shake as Marcus elaborates about the best sex of his life. Roman steps up.
You need to stop talking. Right now.
I'm not gonna lie, Marcus protests, picking up his drink. It's the game.
Ali leaves the table. Sasha moves to follow her, but I tell her I've got this. The ladies' loo is tiny, with 2 cubicles and Victorian-style fittings. I knock on the only closed cubicle door.
Someone's in here!
It's Grace. Ali unbolts the door. Her cheeks are covered in mascara, toilet paper bunched in her hands.
I'm sorry, she gasps. I couldn't cry at the table. Did I make it uncomfortable?
Ali, no, I sigh. You didn't. She sits on the closed lid of the toilet, head in her hands.
Why would he say that in front of me?
Because he's a heartless prick and you deserve better.
You sound like Henry, she laughs through tears. I feel all these things for Marcus. Butterflies and excitement. I've never felt that for anyone before. That's love, isn't it? When being near them is intoxicating. They're all you think about. And not getting a text from them makes you out of your mind with need.
It can be, I say, slumping beside her.
But love usually isn't crying in the toilet because your not boyfriend was being incredibly inconsiderate and hurtful.
He's not always like that, Ali says defensively. I think he gets a little excited sometimes, like a puppy. When there's attention on him, he has to play the clown.
She's making excuses. I'm not surprised. We've all been guilty of refusing to see what's right in front of us at some point.
Are you okay?
She counters.
Me?
Sure. Why wouldn't I be? I catch my reflection in the shiny toilet roll dispenser. Marcus isn't the only clown in this pub.
Because Henry is chatting to that woman, and I would be a liar if I said I couldn't see how much you like him.
I swallow hard. We're in such close proximity that I'm not sure I can conceal the emotion threatening to push me over the edge.
He likes you too, you know. He talks about you constantly. He told me you're... What was it?
Ali pauses, as if trying to get the wording exactly right.
The only person he's ever met that makes him feel like happiness is easy.
Henry said that? My breath catches. My heart malfunctions. Ali smiles as she nods slowly. Everything he shares with her feels like a secret he keeps from me. It was like it before, too. It's what made me so intimidated by her the first time around.
There's so much he tells you, I say. You know him so much better than I do.
Than I ever did.
It takes time.
He'll share those things with you too, if you give him a chance, Ali says gently.
I don't know what's holding you back, what you're afraid of. But as your friend, please believe me.
She puts her hand on my shoulder.
Henry is all yours.
A few hours later, the five of us are tipsy and exhausted, but Henry is still going strong with the brunette. As the pub quietens, they take a seat outside, the sun setting behind them. They look adorable, and I hate it.
What do we say we call it a night? Sasha suggests, following through with a huge yawn.
Gonna be a cold one. The temperature is dropping off, Ali says, checking her weather app and snuggling into a drunken, dozy Marcus.
Luckily, I have you to cuddle up with.
And just like that, all is forgiven. You can change everything about yourself. Your diet, your lifestyle, your job, your friends. But you can't change a heart, I'm realizing. Sasha curls against Roman, cementing my status as fifth wheel. I wonder how much heat my suitcase gives off. As we leave, we say goodbye to Henry. He promises he'll be back shortly, but as his impromptu date fixes her eyes on him, I get the feeling he won't be back alone.
Night,
Henry says directly to me, a hint of apology.
Henry is all yours, I hear Ali's